Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
But remember I said to you that give an ear, it says in Revelation 2 and 3, give an ear to what the Spirit is saying. Remember? It's really important that you give an ear to what I want to say this morning, because I want to talk from Isaiah 43 about what it means to behold a new thing. And there's a message. What's the number 5 in the Bible? It's the message of grace, okay? So the number, 5, meaning grace. And there are 5 things that we find in Isaiah chapter 43 all about beholding something new. And so if you want to, in your Bibles, turn up to Isaiah 43. But there's some, they're laughing at me. There's some things that I want to encourage you about, because let me recap on what I said the week before last when I was last here. I said that whenever you sometimes live with the idea that, it's particularly under grace, we live with this idea that we should be experiencing and living more in the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. Isn't that right? I mean, who doesn't want to see more healing? Who doesn't want to see more of the goodness of God and the love of God coming out in our lives as good fruit? And we had that moment where the story that I read about Jesus and the woman at the well a few weeks ago, that I said, you don't have to live like it's far off. That's the point. Because what Jesus does, whenever he demonstrates his grace and his love to this lady at the well, what he does is the disciples come back, and you know, they're in a place where they didn't want to be, which was in Samaria at this well. They had other plans. They were going the other way. And Jesus said, no, I have to go this way because there's something I want to show you. And as he heals this lady and restores her and shows her unmerited favor, what happens is Jesus is saying that he's showing the disciples, you do not have to wait until some time in Never Never Land, all right? When grace comes, it is for now. Do you understand? It is for right now. The goodness of God is not to, you know, and his love, and what you hear in this church week after week is not to drive you nuts because you never see it. Actually, what he actually says is this, you know, and remember, this was to an adulterous half-breed. That's what this Samaritan was, this lady. She was rejected by her own, right? But she comes in, and after experiencing the love of God, she walks back to the village, and she says this, come and see a man that told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And so they came out of the town and were coming to him. He told me all that I ever did. So this, where this woman has lived under condemnation, embarrassment, and shame, she doesn't sound like somebody who's still in that, does she? When she encounters grace, okay, when she encounters love, she walks back to her friends and goes, seriously, come and meet a man who told me everything about myself, yet I am free. Is that not surely the gospel? Not come and meet a man who will make you feel worse about yourself. Come and meet a man who will make you feel bad. Come and meet a man called Jesus, who you might be doing well before you meet him, but certainly we're going to make you miserable afterwards by telling you you've got to do this, that, and the other. He looks straight at this woman, and he gives her the gift of no condemnation. And the gift of no condemnation in her heart is that she says, seriously, come and see this guy. This is like nothing I have ever experienced. And that's the gospel that you have today. The gospel that says, come to Jesus as you are. He will look at you and tell you everything about yourself, everything that nobody else knows, everything that is hidden, but he will not condemn you. He will set you free and love you. Surely that's good news, folks, this morning. And that's my pacemaker going. And actually what I said is this, is that Jesus then, you know, this is a quick recap on what I said a couple of weeks ago. Jesus then says, the disciple says, guys, listen up. This is my food. Because what happens is we look at all the natural things, all the physical things that we need, like I've tried to encourage you not to concentrate on lack, but to concentrate on provision in Jesus, and you'll see it flow. And what Jesus says is this, that because the disciples missed it, their eyes were on the natural physical food, but Jesus raises it up a level and says, you know what? Whenever you align with Jesus spiritually, whenever you find your purpose fitting under his purpose, so we talk about encountering, growing, discovering, and thriving in this church, okay? What you actually find is it nourishes you and feeds you like nothing else. There's fulfillment and wholeness in that. And so he says, look, lift up your eyes and see. Right now, this is what I have for you. And so this morning, I'm just going to speak past that a little bit to go, what is that? Because it's getting towards the end of February. We've got Marcel next week. Then into March, I'm going to start some different teaching. But it's my last sort of encouragement at the start of the year. Because this is not just about yesterday. It's about tomorrow and the day after. Because I want you to understand that there is so much more for you this year. But you need to listen. Because there are five keys, simple keys, to remember how to behold and watch the Lord do something new. All right? Okay? So that's just me, my wee preamble finished. Now, what I want to do is I want to turn to Isaiah 43. So if you have your Bibles, turn that around. Okay? And let's go and look. I remember standing in, did I tell you I was in Israel? No? Might have mentioned that. And I was in Israel. And if you haven't been to Israel, you need to go. It's awesome. But absolutely, completely amazed at 100 and something years ago, it was just a complete desert. You know, like a total desert. You know, like bit sea, beach, sand dunes for as far as you could see. And today it's one of the most thriving, bustling, modern cities. It's like the New York of the East. They call it, it's just absolutely incredible. Sky rises. It's, you know, kind of the de facto capital of Israel, where all the commerce and the IDF are based and banks. And it's incredible in a short 100 years. It's absolutely amazing. I can remember, you can stand at Joppa near Simon the Tanner's house, for those of you who know your Bible, and you can look down towards Tel Aviv, and you get this really, really brilliant vista of the whole city. And I remember the first time I went there, standing and going, oh my word, this is just amazing. It's so how did somebody look at something that was a wilderness and go and see? Because there was one guy, I'm not going to bore you with the history, there's one guy who said, we're going to build a Hebrew city here. And there's a number of families, about 60 or 70 families who were there at the time. They cast lots. There's a photo of them casting lots in the desert and going, they wanted to build a Hebrew city. And Tel Aviv was founded. It's an amazing story. And as you stand there today, in 2017 or 2018, you just have to look at it and go, oh my sweet Lord, how on earth did they ever make that happen in a wilderness? How is it even possible? Now, just to conceive it and see it and start on a journey, which, you know, I think if you could take those families today and show them what was in here coming to life, they would be completely amazed. And actually, that's what God says about your 2018. When he uses the word behold in Isaiah 43, that when you hear behold in the Bible, it means this: stand, look, and be amazed. All right? That's what behold means. Actually, the real translation underneath it is, flip me, you've got to see this. I mean, that's how literally they translate it in Hebrew. I don't know if Hebrew people said flip me, but you get it, like, flip me, you've got to see this to believe it. And actually what the Lord's saying to you today is this, is under this gospel of grace, you're going to behold something new in 2018, but I want to show you what that is grounded in. But I need you to receive this word this morning in faith. As I was sitting on the train this week in America, I felt the Lord go, Andrew, this is a word for the church, but you have to say to people, it takes faith to receive it, because a bit like standing in Tel Aviv when it was just desert, they may have seen it in their hearts or had something in their minds, but it took faith to believe that it would actually come to pass. And the problem is when you look at the wilderness at times and you look at what's not there, it can be very, very hard to see past that. But in Isaiah 43, you see the promise of grace comes through, where the Lord promises his people to go, you know, I'm going to do something new, and you're going to flip and stand there and be amazed at it. You're going to go, what on earth was that about? Did we ever see it here, that this is what the Lord would do in my life? Seriously? It's incredible. But this morning, so if you have faith this morning, say, yes, Andrew, I'm going to receive this word. And you will stand this year and go, seriously, look at what he's doing. Look at what he is doing, not look what I am doing, but look at what he is doing through me. Amen? Okay, so let's read Isaiah 43. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, I do want to declare this prophetically over you, all right? You've probably heard this many times, and I'm aware of that. But I think actually when we start to lay this under grace, you start to see how it's going to happen. Now, if you're tired this morning, if you're stuck, if you're weary, if those of you who are anxious or sick or worried, fed up, or if those of you who are doing pretty good and looking for even more of an adventure, then this promise that the Lord speaks to you through Isaiah 43 is exactly how you will see God do amazing things in you this year. Now, he is speaking to those people in Isaiah 43. The whole context of Isaiah 43 is Babel, is the slavery under Babylon, all right? So it's about 700 years after they have been released from Egypt, and I'll talk about that in a wee minute. And what he's saying is this. This is what I love about grace. Grace is that whole idea that makes you stand amazed and go, seriously, I am completely and utterly bowled over by what he has done. Who doesn't want that in their life this year? You know, when we hear Helen's story, I mean, that's only the beginning for Helen. It's like at every stage, the Lord says, I lead you from glory to glory. You know, his goodness and his love and his grace doesn't run out. It's not like there's a little bit for you and then he's done. He says there's so much more. And I was sitting on the train this week, went, no, God, I want to stand there and go, seriously? That is amazing. So I'm speaking prophetically to you. It's about calling out your future. Remember, promise, promettere, means to send forth, to give utterance to that which has a guaranteed result. That's what it means in the word. So whenever God promises you, he sends it into your future to bring about a guaranteed result. So this is a promise from the word for you this morning, which will bring about a guaranteed result if you receive it in faith. And faith just means, it's not you going like that. Faith just means God's gift to you this morning to trust him. That's all faith means. Faith just means to have trust and conviction that God is who he says he is, that he has done what he says he has done, and he will do what he promises. That's simply faith in the Bible. So it's not about you doing. I have faith. It's about you receiving because of who he is. So if that's in your heart this morning, receive this word, and you're going to do well. So we all good? So will I get stuck into it? Because I think this, in 2018, I just think, you know, at the top of the year, really, I just go, Lord, I more and more in my journey, I'm learning to rest and to receive your goodness. But I want it to be accelerating in my life and in the life of this church to such a level, in the life of this city, in the life of Northern Ireland. Because flip me, you know, like the whole thing went crazy this week when I was away, okay? I might have to go back up to Stormont and sort them all out. But remember I've been saying, like, do not lose confidence in the gospel, because 20 years, whatever you may think, all right, what it shows us is that men and women's hearts are no further along the line, all right? Because politicians do not have the answer. The only answer is Jesus, who can bring two sides to one, who can heal the hurt of the past, okay? Hurts that are real can heal those. Even as we remember Le Mans yesterday, I mean, the pain still for those families is incredible. And we think, God, how could they ever move on past that? Is that even possible? Well, naturally, it's not. But supernaturally, when they receive love and healing and favor, then it's the only thing that's going to move this country on for all of us. And that's what this gospel is for. That's who it's for, those who are hurting and tired and sick, those who need hope for their future. And so as you listen to this word this morning, you know, have a really good think about what it could mean for the people in your life. So what are the five declarations of grace you see in Isaiah 43? Well, he starts off, the first one is this. And this is how what you can do this week. Whenever you go, Lord, if I want to stand and be amazed and see something new, what does that mean? Where does it start? Well, Isaiah 43:15, he starts with this. I am the Lord. Okay? I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator, your King. He actually says, I am Jehovah. He gives the proper name for God. There's lots of different names translated. But in verse 15, he says, I am Jehovah. This is the name that is given to God as like the Jews would say, the proper name is what they actually call it. And what he's saying is this: your promise and your beginning starts with Jesus. If you want to behold something new and stand and be amazed, what he says is, understand this, it will not be about you. He begins in this bit of Isaiah 43 to say, it's about me. It is about my work. It's about what I have done for you. It is not about you and your effort, but he starts, his beginning point is him. And I was really encouraged by that this week, where I started to read. He said, I am the Lord, Andrew. I am the Creator. I am the Holy One. I am the name above all names. And I was reminded again that my breakthrough starts and ends with Jesus. Amen? It sounds so simple. Sometimes, you know, in the church that I previously might have visited every now and again, what we were told is, when God's doing a new thing, all right, it was almost like that spooky ride that, you know, I had heard so many times, we're going to ride the next wave, all right? You ever heard that? Bloody hell nonsense. I don't even know what that is. Let's just catch the next wave of what the Lord is doing. And more when I started to understand grace, I thought, no, he's already done it all right? It's already done. It's up for me to receive what he has done, and not like God is kind of sitting up there going, oh, wasn't the last wave wasn't enough. I need to send them a new wave that they can surf like some kind of, you know, Belfast Beach Boys in the glory. I'm like, seriously? Do you know what I mean? I thought that's absolutely crazy. And the Lord continually starts with him. And he continually says, if I can encourage you, he says, listen, don't worry. You're going to worry about everything else unless you learn to sit at my feet and just to receive. Amen. Just let me love you and just let my love and my grace and my finished work receive. Because I am the Lord. You're not the Lord. And because I am the Lord, I carry the burden for provision. I carry the burden for your safety and security. I am the one who carries the burden for your health. I am the one who carries the burden for your future. I am the Lord, not you. You'll never do a new thing and see a new thing whenever you are at the center and not him. So, so simple. I found myself in my head at times last week just reminding myself that he has it all covered. Isn't it funny sometimes how your mind can play with you? Even when you're far away, I'm sitting on the train. Like, there's Dr. Phil. He's been away in Australia for months. And it feels like, right? And he's just back yesterday, so he's even more jet lagged than me. But it's even funny that you can be miles away from your home, but what's in your head at times can be just as real as if you're facing it. Anyone? And where does he start? He says, well, grace begins and ends with Jesus. Number one, I am the Lord. I love that. Whenever you feel anxious or worried or upset this week, just go, no, you're Lord. You're Creator. You're the Holy One. You're the King. It's about you, and it's not about my responsibility. Your promise and your end starts with him. There's no greater rock than you can stand on this morning other than the finished work of Christ. Every promise unshakable, every promise unbreakable, and every promise for you. Isn't it good? So he begins with, I am the Lord. Second thing is, he says in verse 16, he says this. He says that, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. He brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished and they're quenched like a wick. What he's saying is, I'm the Lord. And then number two, he goes, you can trust me. What he's stating here is, you can trust me. I've done the impossible before. So whatever is impossible in your life, he starts to reference 700 years before, which is the Exodus from Egypt and how Moses led the children of Israel to a place where they're going to be delivered across the Red Sea. So what he says to you this morning is, what's going on in your life? Number one, I'm the Lord. Number two, I've done the impossible before. It's not beyond me. Whatever it is in your life, if you want to see something new, what you need to understand is that every fear and anxious thought that you would have, can he do this? Is it possible? He says, have a look at my word, and it's going to show you I've done it all before. There's nothing that I haven't done. I've even conquered death. I've conquered every sickness. I've conquered every disease. Every situation imaginable under the sun that applies to men and women today, he's already done it. Isn't that what the finished work is about? Every need met. And people say, well, I'm sick this way. Did he cover that sickness? It says in the word that every sickness that is known and those that are not even known, he took on the cross and he healed. He's done it. There is nothing impossible. And what he says, I'll come back to this bit in a wee bit before, but sometimes we've got to look back in even at our own lives and go, no, Lord, I know when you did something for me. I know. I mean, the stories of somebody else are good, okay? But the stories in our own life, I have to remind myself time and time again. And this week I was thinking, no, you are the Lord. And then number two, he says, remind yourself. Build faith in yourself. Let faith rise as you know that he is the God of the impossible. That grace says that everything that seems impossible to man is absolutely possible to the Lord. Everything that needs to be done has already been done in the finished work for you. So whatever your question may be, the answer is found in Jesus. Isn't that good? I thought, flip me, that's brilliant. And then he says, it's not just, point three is this, it's not just that I've done it before. He says, I'll do it again. He says, I'll do it again. And you will stand and be amazed and go, flip me, you've got to see this. And because he actually says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, what's interesting, when he was writing this, when Isaiah was writing this, the first bit of deliverance, listen to how it applies to your story, all right? In the story, when they're delivered out of Egypt, that was the first new thing, okay? Out of Egypt, which talks about out of law and slavery, delivered into the promised land, yeah? And in that journey, they crossed the Red Sea. It was an incredible parting. Moses stands there, raises the rod of authority, and the whole sea parts. But actually what the Lord is saying is, in your life, that's the picture of you getting saved. Do you get that? You coming out of slavery and walking into a promise where everything is provided not by your work, but by him. So that's the story of out of slavery and heading towards Canaan, towards the promised land. But in the middle of this, right, Isaiah looks and goes, no, but the Lord says, in the middle of that, I'm doing something else. Do you understand? It's not just about you getting out of slavery and like saving in the meeting. It's not about that. Actually, in your life right now, what grace says is, I'm going to show you again something about my grace which will make you be amazed and stand there and go, seriously? Because what he was talking about here was that under the Babylonian Empire, the temple, for those of you who don't know, okay, the temple is where they would gather to worship the Lord, all right? It's destroyed, Babylonians ransack and all the rest of it. And what he's prophesying here is that the temple is going to be restored. And then what will happen is that as the temple is restored and they are delivered, they would restore the land. So they would walk into their inheritances, which was the fullness of God. That's the picture that he's having in Isaiah 43. So what he's saying, beholding the new things, is a reference to rebuilding the temple, where the temple would be restored, the favor of God, then the whole land would be changed, would be encouraged. Do you get that? Okay? So what he's saying to you today is, whatever you have seen me or heard me or heard in other people's lives, if I've done it before, I will do it again. But I'll do it for you. Because what he's prophesying, this new thing, is the temple being restored, the center of God being restored, and so the land would be changed. And not just the land, but the people in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the third bit of grace that we see in here. I am God. I've got this. It's all under my control. Nothing is impossible for me. And more importantly for you, you need to know I'm going to do it again. So what is it in your life this morning where you go, actually, I might have been taken out of Egypt into Canaan. I might have received that bit of favor. I might have received that bit of deliverance, but there's something else where you need to stand and be amazed. Because that's what he's speaking to here. What is it? I don't know. For me, I'm not going to talk personally this morning. I have tons of things that go on in my life where I think, you know, Lord, I would really love to stand. In fact, I'm going to believe that I'm going to stand at the end of this year or through this year even. Not in Never Never Land, waiting for something way out there, but just live in that continual sense of awe at the goodness of God. As he just doesn't go, yeah, I saved you, but he shows me his goodness all of the time, every step of the way. Being amazed at him being God and me receiving, me resting, him providing, me seeing his abundance continually flowing. And every time I see it happen in somebody else's life, I don't get jealous or I don't covet, but I say, Lord, if you did it there, you can do it for me. Do it again. Isn't that the lovely thing about grace? Is it stops all that competitive stuff and all that competition. Because what we see the Lord doing in other people, we can go, thanks, Lord, that's awesome. You can do it for me too. right? And so I receive. The goodness of God doesn't run out. That's what I love about grace. It's just there's always abundance and more than you could ever hope or dream for to bring us all from glory to glory. Isn't that good? He's the Lord. He's got it. He's done it before. He can do it again. And point four very quickly is this morning. He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, when they had fled Egypt the first time, they were actually cornered. They found themselves back to the wall. I don't have time to describe it all, but basically, when they get to the Red Sea, they have mountains in front of them. Okay? So the mountains meet the sea. There's absolutely no way forward. Okay? It implies that there was no way that they could get through. Okay, so think about your own life. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to work this out. You stand and you look at something and you go, I have no idea where mountains meet the sea, how I'm ever going to walk through that. I just don't know how that's going to happen. Now, what's interesting, when they look behind them was Migdal. Migdal was a military post. And as they looked behind them, they could see Pharaoh and the chariots coming towards them. They could see Egypt. The picture is really very simple. As they where they stood, they couldn't go forward, and they certainly couldn't go back. Do you get me?
No.
So they're stuck right where they are. Now, it's interesting that I was listening to a guy this week, and he was saying that sentiment destroys significance was the expression that he used. I thought, that's really, really interesting, because sometimes we get sentimental about the things that are in our past. We look back and we go, well, that was great. And maybe it was, and maybe it was fantastic, but we get sentimental about looking backwards. Now, the thing is, what this picture in Isaiah 43 tells us is you can't go back. You can't, it's done. But the issue is then, what do you do when you can't see the way forward because the mountains are meeting the sea? What do you do then? Because one option to us is we continually live in the past and we get sentimental about it and we can see it. We can't go back there, but for all intents and purposes, that is where we live. Now, what happens is here is that with no way forward and no way back, the Lord promises you, if you feel like you're in that place, the Lord promises you this. He says, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness, okay, number one, and I'm going to make rivers in the desert. Let me just explain very quickly, because what happens is, most of the times in the Middle East, which is really interesting, roads tend to follow rivers. So whenever they were cutting through the wilderness, they tended to cut the road along a path that a river would follow. So it's not just a nice picture. And what would happen is the roads would tend to go up through passes and come down. But roads are basically, when you look at a road in the Bible, roads talk about possibilities, talk about miracles, talk about new experiences. When you're standing where the mountains meet the sea, you need a road forward. Isn't that right? You need a miracle. You need possibilities. You need experience. That's what you're looking for. And so what the Lord says here is for you, that if you're standing going, I don't know how that works, his promise under grace is this, that he, as you rest, will show you the road. But what's interesting is every bit of the road is followed by a river. Now, as roads may go up, rivers always flow which way? Down. Okay? So the river is a picture, okay, of the goodness, the provision, the life of God for you. And what he says is even where it looks barren, as you rest, God not only just shows you the way forward, but there's a river that flows for you, which brings life to everything that it touches. Isn't that the picture from Ezekiel 47? Remember, Ezekiel has this incredible picture of the river of God flowing out of the temple, all right? So this is what, you know, when Ezekiel is prophesying about the temple, what he says there's a river and it's a bit deep, you know the story. And but everything that this river touches that flows out of the temple, the people of God, all right? Everything that comes from it, everything that's salty and dirty and dead, as soon as the water touches it, boom, it comes to life. And Ezekiel tells this incredible picture, actually as it flows to the Dead Sea and the whole sea is transformed. And the picture that the Lord has for you is, even as the roads go up, you'll always be followed by a river of provision that flows down. Isn't that amazing? So as you look forward from today and you go, how on earth am I going to see the way forward? What you need to know is the Lord shows you the path, and he also provides everything that you need. Amen. It's not that simple. I love it. A river flows down. I mean, there's brilliant pictures as well from Micah 4 if you want to get into it. Rivers are brilliant in the Bible, as I discovered last week on the train reading. But rivers always speak of life. But I absolutely love that picture of, Lord, it's not just what do I do, but under grace, Lord says, I will show you the way. You don't need to find the way. I'm going to show you the way. As you rest, the road opens. But not just the road opens, the river flows. And the river always flows up to down. Water doesn't flow uphill. It flows the other way around. You get that? A picture of God's love and grace and provision and mercy continually flowing down for you as you go through the path. And the thing is, even in a desert, when you put Ezekiel 47 onto that, you see that the river of God, whatever it touches, turns to life. Just read the first bit of Ezekiel 47, you'll be so encouraged. What I love when you put Micah 4 together with that, he had a picture of a river flowing into the temple. It was a river of people coming into a place where they would experience life and then life flowing from the temple, the house of God. Isn't that a great picture for the church right there? A river of people coming in, but life flowing out and everything that they touch, everything that comes from that place, healed and turned. I really want to encourage you this morning. This is what grace does. Grace reminds you, number one, that he is God, not you. All the weight and the burden is his. It's not yours. Stop carrying that which you're not meant to carry. Stop worrying about things that you're not meant to worry about. Instead, start this week and go, you're the Lord. You're the creator. You're the Holy One. Remind yourself that he's the God of what is impossible. When Moses stood there, the only thing that Moses could do was to raise authority. Remember, I preached on this? As Moses stands in front of the impossible where the mountains meet the sea, he raises a staff of authority. That's all he has. You know that you have that under grace this morning? That the road comes clear, not as you work harder. Moses didn't get in. I mean, do you know what the picture I had this week? How bonkers it is. It's like Moses getting into the sea with a bucket and going, right, we need a path, lads. Follow me. You know what I mean? Now, if anyone was to try to do that, what would you'd have them locked up, wouldn't you? No? Samuel, you're not sure. I'd have them locked up. Can you imagine some buck agent standing at Helens Bay going, this is what it was like, need to get across the Carrick. I've got it, boys, don't you worry. Child's bucket. Stand on the seashore, what would you do? You would go, you are mental. Stop it. All right? We kind of do that all the time in our own lives, don't we? We kind of see, we go, I don't know how that's going to happen. Tell you what, I've got a bucket. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to, all right? We get dead tired, don't we? We tend to get nowhere. Moses comes along. The staff's just simple in the Bible, is all about authority. All right? And under grace, irrespective of your mess, you carry the same authority that he carries. And so you stand there in front where the mountains meet the sea, and all he does is he raises the staff. And because of that, it wasn't because Moses was more powerful, it's because of what he had in his hand. And then the waters part. No buckets, no nothing. If I can encourage you, that's, I think in there, I love Cecil B. DeMille's version of that film. You know, when the winds blow and all that, and he's standing there, like, and all that stuff going on, Moses, like, and they're all hanging on to him, and he's gonna, I don't know, I have a feeling that actually the science behind that was actually demonstrated in the BBC about 5 or 6 years ago, where it's winds overnight of about 60 miles an hour at that point of the land will push the waters back, okay? So at the point where they crossed, it was perfectly still and dry. Oh, I love that. You can read it on the BBC, like, they're hardly very pro-Christian. But 63 miles an hour is all that's required to get that at that point where these guys cross, to get the waters to push back so that there's a path across. Isn't that incredible? So it wasn't like standing there. It was just authority and boom, straight across where the mountains meet the sea. Don't get sentimental about what's behind you. Don't get sentimental about what's behind you. Don't look back. because he's going, I want you to stand and be amazed that under grace of what I can do for you. And if you're going, I can't see it, that's okay. How many times in our lives do we just have to take a step because he is good and he is faithful, and then we will see the goodness of God. And the last thing he says, is number five, is this. He says, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Or will you not see, or have you not seen it? And what it is, his encouragement is this, that sometimes with grace, what happens is people get dead frustrated and they go, okay, I know that he's God. I know that he can do the impossible. It's kind of ethereal in my head, you know? I know that when my back is against the wall and mountains are meeting sea and Migdal's behind me, that he will make a way. But I love that. Isn't that a lovely picture of his roads go up, purpose, experience, that there's a river that flows underneath that, which is providing for you. And the last thing he says is, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Will you not know it? Depending on what version, there are about three versions there. And that thing of perception and knowing before is absolutely critical even when you live under grace. I need to encourage you. I have had so many times in my life where I would love, as Pastor Prince says this, the reason why the Lord doesn't show you the whole way forward is because if he did that, he understands as people what we do is we replace relationship with just a function. And he said the Lord is more interested in relationship with you above all else because it's a father's heart of love. And that's why he doesn't show you the whole way, because he knows what we would be like. Oh, just do this. I just do A, B, C, D, E. But the heart of Father is to stay connected and to love on us. And that's why, I remember when Pastor preached that, I thought, that is flipping awesome. It's all about him staying connected with me because he loves me. Not just about getting me to the end and seeing me through. He really loves me, so he wants me to stay heart connected with him. And that's why he doesn't show you the end, but he says you can trust me in the meantime. Why? Because I'm the Lord. I'm the God of the impossible. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I'll make a way when there is no way and provide you with a river of blessing. But will you see it? Grace requires you, okay? I think you will see it whenever those first four things are really concreted in your heart. That's what I believe. And at that point you go, behold, flippin' Nora, you gotta see this. Isn't it amazing that in all of that, it's about what he has done and not what we need to do for him? Beholding him, looking at him, gazing on him, sitting at his feet to receive abundance. Isn't it amazing? You see, I think so many people, particularly in some streams of the church, the new thing is about work yourself to the bone, make yourself tired, kill yourself in Jesus' service, and just maybe, if we work hard enough, the Lord will send revival. The Lord will do that new thing that we all hope for. And I actually think, nah, that will come the other way around, which is, I'm the Lord. He's done it before. He's got it. He can do it again. When my back's to the wall, he makes a way and provides me with blessing, and I'm going to see it in my heart. If I receive it here, I take my step. They had no clue what would happen as Moses lifted. They just needed to take that step, and God made a way. So if I can encourage you this week, that's what I would encourage you with. Because whatever it is in your life, I'm not even talking about this church, I'm talking about you. People, sickness, money, business, whatever it happens to be, the Lord says, stand and be amazed at what I'm going to do for you. Stand and be amazed. You stand, you be amazed at what I am doing for you. That's grace. Amen. So if you've got faith to hear what the Spirit has sent you this morning, receive that. Exercise some faith and receive. And I don't know, I think I want to hear the stories about what God's doing in your life. I think it's going to be very, very encouraging. So in 2018, that's what I really want to encourage you with. I do believe it's not like da-da-da, but I believe it's like the solid assurance of standing in the goodness and the grace of God. And standing and being amazed at how grace works and operates in us to bring about good fruit. Do you perceive it? Amen.